So our farm was inherited from my husband's grandfather. It was his farm. It's kind of like a farm of yesteryear. So it's in one contiguous block. It's about 28 acres. Fields are pretty small. They've got robust hedgerows at this stage that have been growing for about 7 or 8 years with good diversity. And then the fields themselves, there's very little topography change. It's pretty flat. I think the farm from its highest point to its lowest point changes about 3 meters. So we're in prime, what's considered sort of tillage and dairy country. And our fields are old pasture fields with a few big trees interspersed, things that we've planted, trees sort of mixed into fields and in rows, new hedgerows, and is a grain field here and there. We try to have one of those every year, but otherwise it's primarily just a pasture-based farm. I kind of say we're more we're reluctant farmers. We are kind of more homesteaders or smallholders. We wanted to produce food, and on 28 acres these days, a commercially viable sort of animal operation is almost unheard of. We wanted our own vegetables. We wanted our own sort of as sustainably produced as possible meats. Try to have as little impact as we could on the earth through our consumption practices. And from that, what we found is that other people wanted the same thing we did, and they were looking for sort of the same products and the same food. And so we were able to take operations that were pretty small to start out and scale them a little bit. So we have a herd of 10, 11, depending on the year, Irish Shorthorn cows, and a few moiled as well, and we milk them. And produce raw milk and cream and butter and buttermilk. And then the skim milk and some of the buttermilk goes to soak some of the oats that we grow, and that gets fed to the pigs. And we have some meat chickens that follow around the cows and sort of a grazing operation where they follow behind when the cows have been there for a few days, and they sort of scratch through manure and fertilize the land with themselves, and they act as little harrows to sort of mimic nature, and all in the effort to produce sort of meats and milks and sort of protein products for people, for consumers and local people. We see our role as feeding our community, but doing that in a way that enhances the environment and the biodiversity and the social aspect of our sort of rural community. And we are free to make, we are very lucky to inherit the land, so we are free to make those choices that we can do those things and not necessarily have to look at it from a massively monetary perspective all of the time, which is nice. Managing a piece of land is one of the biggest responsibilities that you can have. We didn't inherit the land from our ancestors. We borrowed it from our children. I mean, we're trying to leave something that's still a thriving ecosystem behind, and that's the challenge. So it's too create on this farm, create an environment that is not only static, but is actually regenerating, will be here and be productive, both in a food sense for sort of sustainability purposes, as well as a biological sense for the other species that aren't sort of involved in direct food production. As in, we aren't consuming them on our plate, but are very important as part of the whole cyclic cycle for biodiversity and food production. we're trying to do that for future generations, while at the same time hopefully then being a positive role model for sort of the surrounding farmers or farmers who are looking to change or do something different, in the hopes that we can get sort of bigger areas that a few attitudes might change, and we might get a bigger area of influence to do sort of positive change. We knew that our goal was to work within the boundaries set by the natural environment that was here, that we didn't want to push those boundaries. And by taking away the inputs, and not that the farm was not intensively farmed before that either, but by even taking away a small amount of inputs, it was amazing the things that flourished that hadn't been here before, starting from the ground up. And we noticed it more first, not in the animal species, but more the composition of plant communities and the fungal communities, and how they started sort of slowly encroaching from the hedgerows and the more woody areas into the pastures, where before they would have either been grazed too tightly or they would have been supplemented in some way, shape, or form, such that, you know, the natural communities of fungal communities weren't thriving there. And then from there, once we had the supporting network sort of on the ground for different species, and we had, you know, hay meadows that were left, and we had scrubby areas, then you saw the species come in. So it's been a slow, I mean, we haven't had the farm for that long, but it's been a slow, you notice a new thing every year. I think that's what I love about it, is your impact can seem so small, but you do notice, if you pay attention, something new every year coming in. Being a livestock farmer, and especially raising poultry, the one thing that we don't want on our farm is foxes, because they tend to do a lot of damage. But we want them to have a space to still, I think this is the balance. It's producing food and doing these things, but also still giving all those things that you don't want, as well as things you do want, a space to flourish. And I remember one night when there was a full moon and I was going for a walk and hearing the yipping of all of the fox cubs playing in one of the fields just beside where we had our chickens. And we have our chickens just guarded with dogs. We don't try to do anything to the foxes themselves, but that they felt that comfortable being there and playing, and the dogs were happy enough to let them do that, you know, as long as they didn't come near the chickens. It was just for me, it was just a great moment of, oh, we can do this together. We don't have to sacrifice one thing to gain another every single time. Sometimes stepping back and sort of saying, what can I stop doing rather than what can I do more of, is a way in which the farm can thrive, but also the natural environment can start to thrive then as well. Expansion doesn't always have to be the key. So looking within your boundaries and the things that you can do, even small things, reduction of things, that systems can be more productive with less input, not necessarily more every single time. You know what I would love to see on the farm is any species of owls. And I don't know why, I've always had a fascination with them. And they're one of the harder ones to have to be able to see, of course, because you've got your nighttime cut out for you then. But I would love to bring owls. I would love if there was an environment, you know, expansive enough here and around us to have owls in the vicinity. Size doesn't matter, I don't think, too much. You can have a positive impact no matter what size your farm is. It's all in the choices you make for management on that farm. I mean, again, it's a bit rich me commenting on Irish. I mean, I've been here for a while now, but coming from the States where you do a lot of things wrong, and have learned a lot of lessons the hard way, Ireland has such an opportunity, I see, especially as an island, to be a little, or when I say organic, I don't mean certified, just a little bit more organic friendly, you know, biologically friendly production space for food. We're so lucky with our climate and the fact that grass grows so well and that it's green year round and that we have, you know, to this point, you know, beautiful waters and we're not usually drought, usually really isn't our issue. We just have such a great climate in which to produce food that I think it's our responsibility to produce it in a way that doesn't harm that environment that we're so dependent on. Farming in Ireland has to be constrained more by what the natural environment, the boundaries that the natural environment is providing. If we don't do that, what I'm afraid is that we'll not only find that our inputs are unsustainable, given the way the world is going, but also that we're harming the environment that we're so much dependent on, as farmers. And if we want to continue to produce food in a manner, then we just need to give just one thought to, you know, what are the actual ecological boundaries we should be trying to perform these functions within, and then try to do that a bit more.